Mini-episode 230 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by LaughAtSports.com, your new internet home for the convergence of athletics and comedy. Follow them on the web at LaughAtSports.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, welcome to mini episode number 230 of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, your FDH Lounge visiting hearings and residents. We've run the entire NFL regular season. We're now going through the wild card round in this particular segment today. Last week, picking all the games, 10-6, an uncharacteristically good week for me. Only 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock, culminating with a real skid at the end of the year there on my lock picks. 129, 124, and 3 for the year overall, so not even above the juice mark there. 25, 25, and 1 on the big three. 8 and 9 on my lock picks, quote-unquote lock. First time I've ever used the air quotes for that. So, yeah, my worst year of picking in quite a while. I mean, not that I'm Kyle Ross or anything like that, but I generally do better than that. Kyle with a 3-0 week, 38, 24, and 1, 61%. Verified for the year.
I'll tell you what, I remember when we first started doing this endeavor back in September, and you said, how are you going to do this? I'd feel really bad if you came on and I hyped you and you did really bad. And I said, you know what, Ricky?
I don't think I said really bad.
Well,
but it's
not, you just said mediocre. You know, it's like, you know, it's like,
well, no,
it's like the Cowboys. They should be great, but they're always mediocre. What if I was the Dallas Cowboys and I showed all this talent and didn't produce the results? So I was like, well, what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm just going to give away the recommended ones.
Yeah.
That I really, really like, as opposed to just picking every game. I mean, you were up against it. I mean, you took the endeavor of, hey, I'm going to pick every game, whether I really like it or not.
Yeah.
Me, I just stuck to the ones I really liked. These are the ones you need to bet. And as a result, we did really well.
Well, my thing is, again, and I can say this and peel back the cheese curtain at least a little bit here. Let's face it, that in your previous life, you know, making these, you know, picks professionally and everything like that, in a lot of places, I'm not saying where you were, but there's a lot of times puffery, and I was 90% for the season, and I'm like, okay, people are going to see Kyle warts and all here. So it's like, that's what just like, as a friend, I was like, okay, it wasn't that I didn't have confidence in you, but you did what nobody else in your industry does. You stepped out on the live wire without a net, and you were 61%.
Yes, I appreciate it. And God, you know, we were real mediocre there down the stretch, too, buddy. Turned up 5-0 the last 2 weeks, in case you remember. Last week was real nice. Buffalo and Tennessee were a couple good wins.
Right.
And then, you know, Washington. Was Washington the one we agreed on?
It was.
Okay,
it was.
Washington was the one.
I got to look that up. I think our the ones we agreed on for big picks for the year, we did very well.
Yeah, so Washington, and it was hairy. We needed, of course, a Tony Romo late-game interception.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk it to get the cover there, because otherwise the game would have probably fallen on the number.
Right.
But we got that, and now we're in the playoffs.
Yep.
And I just wanted to make note of one thing.
Okay.
It was something we were kind of monitoring all year, going all the way back to when we were crunching some numbers in our preseason division-by-division previews.
Mm-hmm.
I referenced this stat, and I know you were following it throughout the year as well, about since the division, the playoff format was realigned in 1990, there had never been less than 4 repeat playoff entrants and never more than 8. And for a good portion of the season, when we were kind of crunching the numbers and breaking things down, it looked like a new high watermark would be established with 9.
Right.
Particularly because the AFC, there was just so little turnover.
Right.
Other than Indianapolis replacing Pittsburgh, there were no. I mean, we have 5 of the same, you know, 5 of the 6 playoff teams from last year in the AFC have made it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
But with Minnesota. And then, you know, Washington was the real key, the late surge to get past the Giants in the NFC East. It was pretty clear both wild cards were going to be different in the NFC, but it was the NFC East, Washington supplanting the Giants. It hit 8. So, again, you know, that stat is still in effect, that there has never been more than 8 repeat playoff entrants from year to year. And I think when you look at some of the newer ones this year, obviously anyone who's listened to the show the last couple weeks know I have extremely high regard for one of them.
Yes.
But when I'm ranking these teams, and I wanted to get into this, Ricky, before we broke down the individual wild card matchups this week, where we have the 12 teams that are left in our power rankings.
Yep.
For me, at least, and I think it was the same with you, there was a pretty significant break in the 12. It wasn't quite 50-50. It wound up being 7 above, 5 below the Mendoza line.
We both had the same number of teams.
Teams that I think that could win the Super Bowl. And I'm, to be honest with you, even a little shaky on 7, so it could be 50-50. But there's 5 teams, 3 of them the new entrants, that I cannot see winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And it starts with the team, the weakest playoff entrant is Minnesota, to me.
See, I have Baltimore at 13. By the way, I have Chicago
overall
at 10. Yeah.
Okay, so you have, so Chicago is your top non-playoff team. They were my top non-playoff team as well.
Yeah.
But Minnesota, and in a couple weeks, I know we were talking about we're going to go over the league as a whole, revisit our preseason predictions. Minnesota was a team that I thought was going to be the worst team in the NFC before the year. And I don't know how they made the playoffs. I know the simple answer is Adrian Peterson. But I think, like a lot of people, I know they were they were on locally here in Cleveland, weren't they, last week? I've been just, I'm addicted to this red zone, so I don't even watch the local network. Okay. I know that. So I, in full candor, I had not watched a lot of Vikings games this year. I was just always mystified when they won. Like, how is this happening? So I watched them in good detail last week. I just can't believe Peterson breaks loose. And we'll talk about this more when we give our pick on the Packers-Vikings game in a little bit. With Christian Ponder as their core, in a league where you're not supposed to be able to win without a quality quarterback. I mean, now we saw the 49ers with Alex Smith make it to the NFC title game last year, and he was kind of the proverbial game manager. But Alex Smith was much better last year than Christian Ponder was this year.
Right.
I don't even think it's comparable. So the Vikings, for me, are clearly the worst team. And what's interesting about that is I was convinced, you know, for weeks on end here, that Indianapolis was going to be by far the ugly duckling of the 12 playoff teams.
Right.
And I have several non-playoff teams ahead of them. I only have Indianapolis 15 overall, 11 among the 12 playoff teams. When you look at their results, I've said this before, the Colts very quickly, I thought, went from underrated to overrated. In that when you look at their schedule, the bulk of the results are close wins over bad teams. Now, they did have a very emotional win in the regular season when they had really nothing to play for except, you know, inspirational stuff, or obviously surrounding the Chuck Pagano situation when they beat Houston. And Houston had far more to play for, and they came up small. More on them later. But the Colts are a team that they feel like they overachieved, or at least I feel like they overachieved moving into. And I don't know about you. Did you have them? I mean, Minnesota was your 12th out of 12 playoffs. No, they weren't. You had Baltimore actually ranked, like you said.
Right.
Okay, so I'm surprised. What about Indianapolis for you?
Well, here's what I got. In this order here, and this may confuse folks a little bit once we get to the game picks here, but I got Baltimore 13, Indy 12. So that game to me, whatever.
Well, I thought what's funny is before Minnesota snuck in, which I didn't think they were going to do, I thought they were going to lose last week. I was convinced that Baltimore and Indy would be my two bottom teams, and it looked like they were going to meet for a while, for a couple weeks. So
my bottom two.
Okay.
Yeah, I got Cincinnati 11, as we said, Chicago 10. I got Minnesota 9 and Washington 8. The thing I'll say in Minnesota's favor is, and again, as I was pointing out before we went on the air here, what I also do is I total up the power rankings by division, and just for divisional strength. The NFC North, the best division in football by far, and Minnesota went 10-6. I think they're a fraud also, Kyle.
You had three 10-win teams, and then a very disappointing Detroit team.
Yeah, and it's a great, great division. I think they're a fraud also, but scoreboard, 10-6 in that division.
And they beat some good teams. Remember, they beat the 40, remember?
I still don't know how half those wins happened.
It's just as simple as Peterson.
And no Percy Harvin a good chunk of the time.
Yeah.
And not that makes things better for evaluating Ponder, because I think he's subpar as well, but in fairness, didn't have him there. And then I got a Washington 8. Washington, to me, is the team below the line right there.
Yeah, I have Washington as my number 8 as well. I mean, they were really, really hot. I mean, 7 straight wins, 7 straight covers to end the regular season.
They started my year at 29, by the way, because one of the things, if
you
look at my power rankings, you can see the progression through the season. I have it to where you can look at how I had them every week. 29 to 20 to 21 to 25, I had them making their way up in there. But, yeah, I had them
They were a real late bloomer for me, too. I mean, you know, I mean,
Minnesota 30, by the way, at the beginning of the season for me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I had Minnesota 30. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, Washington was a team I think both you and I projected for last place in that
division. Indy 24, for that matter. Yeah. So a lot of teams came from nowhere.
Yeah, and with me, just to rehash kind of the second-tier playoff teams, I've got Baltimore number 10. So, I mean, you had Baltimore ranked last among all playoff teams. Baltimore's not a team I've really believed in, but I feel the market somewhat shifted down on them a little bit. When they were 9-2, they were completely overrated. Now that they're 10-6, I feel that they're more in their right spot. Cincinnati, to be honest with you, I was thinking about this because I know I sent this to you, and you've got to post it at the fdhlounge.blogspot.com. I think Cincinnati might actually be better than Washington right now.
Okay.
Those teams are pretty...
They're close.
Yeah, it's almost like an 8A and an 8B there. But above that, the teams that I thought that think that can win it all, we've got to agree that Houston's number 7 at this point. You can't have Houston above any of these other top 6.
I have Atlanta 7.
Freddie Falcon.
The guy who had Atlanta number 1 for a good chunk of the year, I was out on that limb. I have Atlanta 7, Houston 6. And I had them... 1-2, Atlanta-Houston, 1-2 for many, probably about half the season. But right now, Atlanta 7, Houston 6.
What's so interesting about that, see, I've got Houston 7, Atlanta 6.
Okay.
Is that going into last week, this time last week, these were, Atlanta did already have home field clinched. Houston was in position to. They blew it horrifically and are now 3 in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
These teams could have been the 2 that had home field advantage in their respective conferences.
Yeah.
Would Houston have been higher had they not lost last week for you?
Clearly. Those last two losses.
For me, I wouldn't have had them higher than 6 even if they would have won last week.
Those last two losses really exposed
them. The Minnesota one was bad.
I mean, I'm not going to go as far as Bill Barnwell on Grantland where he's saying they're the best balanced team in the league, but they are incredibly balanced, at least until the end of the season.
Aren't they Houston, Atlanta?
Yeah,
look,
they are.
I've made fun of Atlanta all year. They're critics' fans. They don't do anything wrong, but their ceiling's not as high as the top 5. So we've got the same top 5.
The other thing, too, though, and what confuses me, and as much as I hear people putting over Mike Nolan and everything like that, okay, the Falcons' defense better this year, but, I mean, they're not a juggernaut.
No,
you can run on them.
Especially compared to, New England, who we haven't mentioned yet, doesn't have a great defense. But I think the other 4, and Green Bay, quite frankly, doesn't either. But the problem with Atlanta is, and I can't wait till the divisional round when they've got to host them, because I think you and I are really going to fight tooth and nail those 2 matches.
This is unfair what's happening to them. They're going to draw the hot team again.
It happens every time. So we've got the same teams in the top 5. I guarantee they're not in the same order. But here's my top 5.
Okay.
Green Bay, I have at number 5.
All right.
I dropped them a spot with the loss to Minnesota last week. They have the best quarterback in the league operating behind probably a bottom 3 offensive line. And I think they don't match up well with the 2 NFC West teams if they were to run into them.
Maybe not, but I got them 1. I think they're the team to beat.
And they were your preseason pick to win the Super Bowl. And I know you're a strict constructionalist.
Original intent, my friend.
We don't want to go beyond those first 10 amendments, do we? Give me a break. You got to be ashamed of yourself.
I think they can put up 30 on anybody.
Okay. Yeah. That's true, but they can give up to 30 to a lot of teams as well.
31, 30 wins.
Yeah. Number 4. And I'm surprised, because I thought this was going to be – is this your number 5? I'm not looking at your thing right now. I know I've looked at it already.
Okay.
Denver is my number 4.
I got Denver 2, actually, shockingly.
See,
I started Denver at 21, but they made it up to 2 in mine at the end. Hardly anybody's hotter than them.
Yeah, they're not. But, again, I'm surprised you have them at 2, because the who have they beaten – and look, we're not going to talk about Denver much this week because they're off, obviously – home field helps, but I'm still not sure I would take them, and that's why what's going to be the AFC Championship game, I think everyone is going to pick.
Yep.
Even at home against my number 3 team, New England.
Spoiler, I won't pick them to win that, but I have them 2. My power rankings are as of right now, not necessarily what I'm thinking
down
the road.
Okay, see, mine kind of were. I don't really sense shifting mine.
Okay.
But, I mean, then again, I always think I'm right. So.
Okay.
So I've got Green Bay 5, Denver 4, New England 3. Where'd you have New England?
I got New England 4.
Okay.
So we're close.
And then, your number 5 team must be my number 2,
San Francisco, yes.
Okay, I think San Francisco is talented as any team left. look, there was a little bit of regression. You know, the regression analysts were low on this team coming into this year. No one in their right mind thought they were going to match last year's 13-win total.
Right.
The division was certainly tougher this year, the NFC West. And what better illustration of that is than you know me. I thought at this time last week, because this was my top team in the league at this time last week, and I thought when we did this, when I came up with this idea, this would be this big, surprising thing, and it would make waves, and people would say, I can't believe what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling I'm not the only person in America who thinks this. My number one team heading into the playoffs is the Seattle Seahawks.
I got them three. I mean, they could beat anybody, true, but I gotta see more.
Okay, we're gonna talk about this when we break down the game with them and the Redskins.
Yeah,
how much of it with Seattle is the road record for you? And
part of it's
Seattle,
and that they're gonna have to play the games on the road.
They will.
Yes, rookie quarterback and everything else like that. Which, by the way, to go back to the other NFC West team, the one that you have too, there's some questions in my mind also here too. After the great start in the first primetime game here, Colin Kaepernick really shined in the spotlight, I think, that first game there. But subsequently, been some questions. Vernon Davis hasn't been a big part of the offense since then. So there are still some questions as to what can happen there.
I think it was the right choice. And how interesting is it? And I'm going to tip my cap because I was very critical of Coach 'Em Up Pete before the – you know me. I've ripped Coach 'Em Up Pete.
Me too.
Basically his entire tenure in Seattle. And before the year started, this was interesting. You picked Seattle to win that division.
Yes.
I picked San Francisco. And my rationale for not backing Seattle more was that I really wasn't sold on Coach 'Em Up Pete's track record. And he made a very unconventional decision at quarterback before the year. He's like, hey, I know we just gave Matt Flynn all this money. I like Russell Wilson better.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go with Russell Wilson, even though it makes no financial sense. And I was like, you know, I don't trust Coach 'Em Up Pete, so I'm thinking Coach 'Em Up Pete's making the wrong move.
Mm-hmm.
Coach 'Em Up Pete made – that is probably the single greatest coaching decision of 2012, his decision to start Russell Wilson at the beginning of the year.
He may be the front runner for Coach of the Year right now.
Yeah, and remember, the three of the five teams that beat Seattle, they wound up beating them back. It was funny. Remember, I told you this last week. They started 0-3 in the division.
Right.
They then avenged all three of those losses. So, ironic that they were 0-3 in division road games. But Seattle, for me, when I look at them, is just the most complete team. They have a lot of characteristics of some past championship teams that we've seen. Again, it's never the team who's 13-3, 14-2, 15-1 in the regular season. Like, we've, you know, Green Bay, 15-1 in the regular season.
Right.
You know, enjoy your set of steak knives. You know, I mean,
it's not exactly March Madness, but there is a sense that, you know, in this tournament, you not start from scratch, but you do have to, in a world where the Giants can win the Super Bowl at 9-7.
It's who's kind of playing the best at that time. The I mean, you can't totally throw out the first half of the season.
Right.
But we talked about this when we first started on. The reason I picked Houston to win it all before the year was it was such a clean, safe pick.
So balanced, really.
Just because, okay, they're in a...
They can run, they can pass, they got a great defense.
The Colts were a huge surprise.
Sure.
And we were, I thought, kind of more optimistic on them than most.
I think we were.
But their division was easy, Houston's, going into the year. I mean, everyone picked Houston. I mean, they had to be, along with New England, they were the two unanimous picks as division winners, I think, among anyone who matters. Picks. So they were safe. They were going to dominate the division. They had made kind of a run into the playoffs last year without Matt Schaub. So it just seemed like a clean, safe pick. But if you remember, I said, I reserve my right to change this.
Right.
And what's funny is I was going to still ride them to win the AFC before last week.
Okay.
And I even though I would have had them lower than New England and Denver in the power rankings, I just thought that kind of the advantage of avoiding both of them until a home game in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
Again, made them a clean, safe pick. What's funny is I would have picked them again this week.
If they're the one seed, I would have kept two. Because my preseason pick was Green Bay over Houston. I would have ridden them if they were the one seed.
But with Houston, it's funny. I would have picked them. Because what we're going to do at the end of the show is we're going to pick the whole playoff picture after we do the wild card games. We're going to pick
the
whole
playoff. We're going to agree on most.
I think we will too. But the thing is, I would have picked Houston to still win the AFC at the end of this program had they won last week.
Okay.
But I would have then possibly changed it in the AFC Championship game based on who they were. I mean, obviously, look, they they sucked the big one against New England on the Monday
right.
night. I mean, that was an eye-opener. I'm not sure if they recovered. And quite frankly, the disappointment of now having to play. I mean, all year, I think they were kind of the mindset, okay, we're going to be off that wild card weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing and they're up first, and I think that's kind of a good transition to go to these games
mm-hmm.
where they'll be hosting Cincinnati
mm-hmm.
in the 4:30 game, the first game Saturday. They're laying 4.5 right now is the number I got.
Had been 5 at the opener, yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, Ricky. Come full circle. I have jumped off the Houston bandwagon completely. I am taking Cincinnati with the points in this matchup. They may win the game outright.
That's exactly my reasoning. I'm taking them with the points. I still think Houston's going to win the game, but it's one of these things where...
Close game.
Yeah, it's going to be close.
It will not be like... Remember, these teams met last year in the same 4:30 death spot. Kind of,
yeah.
You know, the spot, the one game the TV network execs don't like as much as always they get. And Houston really dominated the game with T.J. Yates.
Right.
It just seems that Cincinnati has arrived a year early with their... I mean, they're hot. They're a hot AFC. Other than Denver, who's hotter than Cincinnati right now in the AFC?
They're very hot. Again, it was the Oilers, not the Texans, but if you go back to the 70s and 80s here, maybe even the 90s, the old AFC North rivalry between the cities of Houston and Cincinnati.
Central at the time.
Or Central,
be,
I'm sorry.
Not
Central.
I'm ashamed.
Central. The funny thing is I meant to say Central, but I blurted out North anyways. Yeah, Central. But, yeah, so a little bit of history there. And now those are the days when it was not Bum's son up in the press box, looking down on the field. It was Bum himself on the sidelines for those old Oilers. Yeah, again, I have such regard for Houston, but again, the last couple weeks just inexplicable the way that they have slid back. Those losses to Minnesota and then subsequently to Indianapolis, I got to tell you too.
We think are the two worst playoff. Well, you don't, but I do. I think are the two worst playoff teams, and there were several non-playoff teams that I have ranked better than them.
Well, and here's the thing, too. In looking at this weeks back and talking to FDH Director of Research Nate Noy, we were anticipating, with Houston playing Indianapolis twice in the last 3 weeks, a blurb on the schedule, don't exactly know how that happened. That probably shouldn't. You should probably break those games up a little more. But anyways, that Houston might have the one seed or at least a bye locked up before then. And Indianapolis might have a chance to steal two games, and instead, Indianapolis went out there last week and earned it against Houston.
They did. And when you look at Houston's results, they did beat Denver and they did beat Baltimore, two of the other division champions.
Yeah.
Denver was early. They really dominated that game, though. I know the final says it was 31-25 in Mile High, but they led that game 31-11 before Manning threw two late touchdowns. They really crushed Baltimore at home. But other than that, they didn't – I mean, those games occurred in September and October. From November on –
they beat Chicago in a real primetime slobber knocker.
It was not – yeah, but that – it was funny because I have a lot of good friends, as you know, out in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually invited me to that game, and I turned it down on the because it was funny at the time. Here's how things have changed so much since those two teams played on November 11th, okay, almost 2 months ago. I was having a debate at the time with my Chicago friends who was the best team in football, Houston or Chicago, at the time. And I told them I didn't want to go because I liked Houston to win that game. Now, they did. But after that, after winning in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
here's Houston's wins. Jacksonville, Detroit, Tennessee, Indy. They got killed by New England, killed by Minnesota, beaten by Indianapolis.
You know what's funny? The Jacksonville and Detroit wins. They were kind of at their apex going into that.
And they didn't look good in either. They needed overtime for both of them, right?
That was the canary in the coal mine. Sneaking past those two teams was the precursor of their collapse.
Yeah.
We couldn't see it at the time, but in retrospect, it's very clear.
Yeah, so my end result is Cincinnati could win. I could see them winning this game outright. I don't know.
That's my logic, is that I think Houston's going to win, but I like the 4.5.
Oh, no, Cincinnati, I'm saying I think Cincinnati could steal the game.
That's what I'm saying. I think Houston will win, but I like Cincinnati with the 4.5 and think that there's enough of a chance they could win outright.
Yes.
That's what steers me there.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, when you look at Cincinnati down the stretch, on the other hand, they were 7-1 straight up against the spread, straight up and against the spread. Their only loss was by 1 to Dallas on a last-second field goal, a game that they dominated. I watched a good deal of that game. Dallas stole that one late.
Right.
So, You know, Cincinnati's kind of like a Washington, a team they beat early in the year, by the way. That's kind of in that they could be heading into this on an 8-game win streak had that Dallas field goal not gone through.
You know what's so funny? I look at Cincinnati's season. They started 3-1, then they dropped the the 4 in the middle there, and then came out strong at the end, only losing one of their last 7 games. Their season, I've seen it play out, but for me, a lot of times, and right now, God, I wish I had the time to be in a bowling league as much as I love doing it, but that was like me back in the day with the donut game in the middle. Be like 200, 160, 200. That's exactly like what they did. They had that middle there, and it fooled me because I thought they were returning to where they were going to be at, and then they went
too
on that streak at the end.
Here's the interesting thing. They got crushed. Everyone remembers this week one, the first game of the doubleheader on Monday night by Baltimore.
Right.
44-13. After that, they only lost by one possession one time all year, and it was in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Of all places.
Yeah.
So, again, that was kind of in the midst of that 0-4 straight up and against the number run they had. So, this is a dangerous team as an underdog. Houston, for me, it boils down to the disappointment of having to play this week. They were of the mindset that was not going to be the case for the last month. Now it is. Reality sets in. Does Gary Kubiak get fired if they lose this game?
I don't think so.
You never like to fire you never like to fire a coach.
Well, you're
can he take them to the promised land?
I don't know that he can, Kyle.
Okay,
but
okay,
you're asking me, should he be? Should he be? Maybe, but will he be? No.
Really?
This is a guy who survived multiple like 8-8 seasons when they were supposed to go far.
See, that's interesting. Because
remember
to
how
me,
long they were the hipsters' chance? Many years and never even made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Why would he get fired at 12-4 after he survived all those years?
Has he plateaued? It's kind of like the Mike Brown principle. Okay, he can get you near the top of the mountain, but he ain't going to get you to the top.
Here's the problem, though.
And now they are behind. What's tough about
Monday,
playoffs,
New Year's
Eve, you're right. But
Kyle, the pick of the litter is going to be gone.
You think by Sunday?
Unless, you know, well, it could be.
They've talked about that. Andy Reid could be employed.
We could be getting into second-tier possibilities here.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it depends.
The vest? He wanted two levels, you know? Hey, how about him? I just wanted to troll you on that.
Okay, let me rephrase my question.
Okay.
Let's say, all right, because Andy Reid, it seems like Andy Reid will be re-employed by the weekend.
Yeah,
looks like Arizona, which,
yeah.
By the way, a different podcast for a different day.
Yeah.
Bad hire all around.
And not a great choice by him, working for the cheap-ass Bidwells.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Let's say the other teams have not filled their vacancies, and you know, maybe a Chip Kelly's still out there, and you know, some of these other guys in the pros. And Houston then loses, and they can still get their pick of the litter.
That could make a difference.
Okay.
That definitely could make a difference. But, yeah, I don't think he will be. Should he be, you could make an argument that they've plateaued, but he's survived so much already. Although, again, the expectations were sky high this year. And to go out around earlier than last year, yeah, the perception could be
that they've taken a step back again.
Yeah.
I really think that, I mean.
And in a conference that's there for the taking.
Do you agree? They could win this week, certainly. They're not going to beat. They would be pigeonholed into New England because they're the three seed. They have to play the two. They would have to go up to New England. They're not going to go further than
last year.
And yet
I would pick them probably over New England at home, but I certainly would not pick
them. You would.
Well, maybe not in light of the collapse. Had they not collapsed, but then the two and New England the
if
three?
If they won out after the New England loss, okay, they're
not,
built up.
Not,
they got
not
revenge.
Even one out, but if they didn't look as stinky as they looked the last couple weeks and they were the two, I'd pick them. I certainly won't pick them on the road against New England the next week. So we've already given away
a little
bit of what we think.
Yeah, okay.
So
we agree
Cincinnati
on the first
Cincinnati
one plus 4.5.
Yeah.
Saturday night, I know a game that you have an umbrage with that it got the Saturday night spot.
Minnesota, the dog turd team of the playoffs playing on the Saturday night prime
time
game.
Well, Saturday night's
because there's snowflakes in Lambeau Field and the housewives are going to want to tune in. Ugh.
No, it's because Fox wanted RG3, and they had to.
Well, you did set me straight on that it wasn't NBC's choice.
Yeah, NBC
okay.
gets the leftovers.
Okay.
While CBS is allowed to pick their main course, same with Fox. So, but here's the thing, and plus you have Adrian Peterson, you have a rematch, and shame on me. I wanted to do a little research here, because doesn't it seem like this happens like every other year?
It really
where there's
does.
A Week 17 rematch in the playoffs?
Yes, a lot.
And I think a lot of those times, you know, I'll send you some. I'll do a little looking into this.
Okay.
Shame on me that I'm not doing it live on the show. But I'll send you, and you can post it on the blog. I think the team that wins the regular season game often comes back and wins the playoff matchup.
I was going to say, I thought it was the other way around.
Okay, maybe I could be wrong. That's interesting. We're going to have to do some digging into that and you post on the blog and you can tweet it out.
Sure.
Now, that said, I like Green Bay minus the points.
I do, too.
Even if it's two possessions.
It was eight at the start. Now
it's seven and a half. I think they're going to tattoo them.
Going away, yes.
I think this, if you were to ask me what, I mean, obviously the point spread indicates this, but this has the likelihood for the biggest blowout. I just think, and I watched a good deal of these teams play the game last week. I just don't understand how Adrian Peterson gets off these runs. Like, how do you not know that's coming?
How do you not go nine in the box
against
them?
Yes, I mean, and
no
just
Percy
make
Harvin.
Ponder beat you because he can't do it.
He can't.
Now, Minnesota, here's the key. They got out to the lead last week at home. Scene shifts in Lambeau. Green Bay has to come out strong in this game. They have to. If they can get in front of Minnesota, Minnesota's not a team that's built to come from behind.
This could be like 44-14 if they get out to an early lead.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far, but I just think in Green Bay, too, remember the early playoff exit last year?
Right.
Obviously, they were one and done. The Giants came, the red-hot Giants came into Lambeau. They beat them. That's going to stick in their craw. Rodgers is a guy who gets motivated kind of when the buzzards are circling, so to speak.
And it's not the Bears, but it's a decent-sized rivalry.
Oh, sure.
Minnesota drew the bullseye of going in with a team that they don't like and doesn't like them. And granted, Minnesota's kind of been the little brother in this thing in recent years, but having said that, it's still a rivalry, so they're not going to sneak up on Green Bay 2 weeks in a row. And let's face it, they snuck up on Green Bay last week.
Yeah, and kind of, you know, Green Bay, the thing about it is, you know, they were playing for a bye. That's kind of disheartening. But for all you bettors out there, Green Bay 9-2 against the number when they don't cover the previous week. So pretty good bounce back under McCarthy. So I like Green Bay to kind of win this one big. And it was also their first loss in a while to the Vikings. They might have been due. I don't see Minnesota scoring 37 points again, particularly on the road, rookie quarterback. So
well, and not only that, I mean, we all have this sense people have in their heads when they look at these teams. Green Bay struggles to run the ball. Minnesota's pretty good against the run. The numbers are very, very close on that. You know, Green Bay's offensive yardage, Minnesota's defensive yardage on the run. So it's a thing where the Vikings are not going to be able to make the Packers one-dimensional. It's not a good matchup for them in that way.
And McCarthy, before last week, was 30-12 against the number in NFC North games.
Yeah.
Just so you know. I mean, he's really owned this division. Certainly – I can't see Green Bay losing outright.
No, I mean,
if there's one team that I cannot see winning outright this week, it's Minnesota.
Well, it's the biggest line and deservedly
so. Yeah, it's the big exactly.
And I'm with you. The hook at 7.5 doesn't even scare me.
What do I always say? Yeah. If you're going to take the underdog, you want to have unless if it's a double digit number,
right?
You want to have some belief
right.
that the underdog is going to win the game straight up. I have no belief that the underdog is going to win this game straight up.
Right.
So I'm taking Green Bay. They'll advance to play San Francisco next week in a game that I think we'll disagree on.
All right, so again, two games that we agree on thus far. I go to the Sunday games here. Mm-hmm. A rivalry a couple of ways over. Indianapolis stole the Colts from Baltimore. You got Chuck Pagano with his homecoming to Baltimore. Storylines abound.
Ray Lewis, by God, it's his last ride.
Announced
today that this will be – I hope he plays.
Saddest day since he cut two dudes in the ATL years ago.
Of course. Yeah, we have to go to that. What have I always said? What a job. You know, Ray Lewis, in my opinion, the greatest middle linebacker of all time. Sorry, Dad. Okay.
Dick Butkus says hi.
Yeah, big deal. Big deal.
Mike Singletary is waving at you.
You know what Ray Lewis says? Goodbye, okay? Okay. Ray Lewis, greatest middle linebacker of all time. I hope he plays. Even if he doesn't, though, the Colts just had a very fluky season.
Yes.
And this is the side that I like the least, I'll admit, of the four games. If you were to rank the four games in terms of how much I like them, this would be fourth. The Saturday games, I would say Green Bay is my second favorite pick of the week, minus the number.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati is my third favorite, plus 4.5. This is my least laying the number with a Baltimore team that, as you know, I have not liked for much of the year. I mean, when they were 9-2, I thought they were completely fraudulent.
Yeah.
But
it's 6.5 here, and it's been 6.5 through the week.
But here's the key. This is still a good home team.
Right.
I know they lost twice during the regular season, including once to the immortal Chaz Batch. But the key is their offense. This game could go over. If you're looking to make a bet in this game, now you may want to consider the over. Baltimore on the season averages 24.9 points per game, okay?
Okay.
At home, they average 31.7. Mm-hmm. So that tells you right there, they average about two touchdowns more per game at home than on the road. Under John Harbaugh, this has been a tremendous team at M&T Bank Stadium.
Yes.
I believe it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So I know they didn't finish well, but I feel the market's kind of shifted too low. And the Colts, man, when you look at their results, a lot of close wins over bad teams. Beat the Vikings by 3. They did stun the Packers by 3 at home. Beat the Browns by 4. Tennessee in overtime. Dolphins by 3. Buffalo by 7. Detroit by 2. Tennessee by 4. Kansas City by 7. Houston by 12. And then one could make a case that, you know, last week's game was probably their best game of the season. I just see it coming to an end here. Luck threw a lot more interceptions on the road than he did at home. Baltimore, I think their defense, you know, by God, it will not be Ray Lewis's last ride for at least one more week. And I think the Ravens, you know, I really like it how it's under 7. Because, you know, obviously 7 being the key number that it is. So that's kind of what leads me to believe Baltimore is the play here. And especially if Lewis were to play, I think that's kind of a emotional factor to counteract the whole Pagano thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to wonder how many more times the Colts can rise up with all this stuff. I mean, you know, they've been played such inspired football all year. Eventually, the clock strikes midnight.
Well,
we've seen the two fluky teams the last 2 years win. Seattle at 7-9. Remember, they beat New Orleans.
Yeah.
And last year, Tim Tebow, what a wild ride he had us on, didn't he? Beat Pittsburgh. But both those teams were home, remember. Indianapolis on the road, no thank you. Baltimore wins this game, probably very close to the number by about 7 or 10 points.
And just being here is kind of Indianapolis' Super Bowl versus Baltimore, again, with where they're
Baltimore's
at.
Baltimore's a team that I know they didn't finish well, but you're right. They were thinking about a month ago, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, for them, it's really Super Bowl or bust.
It's late in the day for them because this is a team. I said this to you, I think, a year ago on the program that Baltimore is a team that they don't take the rap as a choke artist, but year in and year out, they're in the conversation and come up short. And this is going to be, I think we agree, one more year where that's the case.
Well, here's the thing, and I think I read this in the Football Outsiders preview.
Okay.
And it was one of the great assessments of a franchise that I'd read in a long time, at least in recent years. Some years, it was about Baltimore, obviously. Some years, Baltimore's better than New England.
Mm-hmm.
Some years, Baltimore's better than Pittsburgh. There's no years where they're better than both.
That's true.
And, you know, Pittsburgh obviously didn't make the playoffs this year, but Baltimore's not as good as New England.
Right.
They're probably not as good as Denver either because they lost to them recently at home. They're probably not as good as Houston this year. I mean, granted, again, a lot's changed.
And I think Houston would have beat them with Matt Schaub last year. I've said that all along. Road game or no,
I think Houston
would have won.
That game finished right around the number. Interesting. I think Baltimore was -7.5 there. So, you know, the Colts defense, by the way, giving up 29 points per game on the road against that Baltimore offense. I just gave you those numbers. I think the Ravens are going to put points up in this game. I'm more inclined to go over than anything else, but, you know, we're picking all of them here in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I say lay the 6.5 with Baltimore.
You and I are 3-3 on concurrence here. I will say also probably my toughest one of the weekend because here's my thing, though. For everything that you just said burying Indianapolis, I believe, as ludicrous as you may think it is, I think they have a puncher's chance.
Yes, they do.
I think I
would be less surprised
if they beat
Baltimore than Minnesota beating Green Bay.
Oh, sure, Yeah. They're nowhere near Minnesota-esque. We agree on that. But the thing of it is, so I was thinking to myself, they probably won't win, but I'm probably going to take them to cover. But then again, I was looking at it, and it looks like the sharps are on Baltimore. And I do try to make it my business these days, whenever possible, to try to go that way. So, yeah, that was what
you're going with Baltimore.
I'm going with Baltimore.
Okay,
we're 3-3. Maybe going to be 4. I think we're going to be 4-4. We'll see on agreeing.
Well, you know how – I mean, you know who I'm going with in this last game,
well,
certainly.
We both have one of these teams above the line and one of these teams below the line. And I don't think either one of us believes that being at home is going to make that big of a difference here. This is a rematch in this game here between the cities, of the 1978 and 1979 NBA Finals. as Seattle and Washington, D.C. do
I
battle again.
I had no idea where you were going there. I was like, what is this a rematch of?
Well, between the cities. The
I was trying to think, I'm like, these teams didn't play this year. And then I was like, when did they ever play in the playoffs?
The Sonics and the Bullets split the 78 and 79 NBA Finals. So I'm grasping on the rivalry end, yeah. Kyle.
Another reason to salute the great David Stern for taking us out of those doldrums.
Well, those are the days when contests were honestly decided.
Yeah, it was, you know what else they split in 78 and 79, those two teams? Probably a bag of Coke, okay? I mean, Jesus. I mean, the NBA, yeah. that was back when you could play in the NBA Finals, drive home, and then watch them on tape delay.
Yes.
You could watch yourself.
Hey, look at what I did there.
Yes, yeah.
So Seattle, again.
Now pass me a credit card.
Seattle is a three-point favorite. This started as
a
pick.
Like
all the money is going in one direction. Yeah, but here's the thing, though. And as a guy who sometimes I went that way with the money, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes the unwashed masses, the mouth breeders, are right. And I think this is one where they are, because I cannot really make a case for Washington in this game. Yeah, puncher's chance, I suppose, but you're looking at an RG3 who doesn't look to be 100% physically.
Correct, and that's huge.
That's a big part of it as well. Versus, again, I agree with you on the balance of the Seattle team right now and everything they can do. Again, it is a team that's giving up a little bit more than 100 yards per game on the ground. So that's not great. That's not horrible. I mean, it's fairly decent. But, I mean, Alfred Morris may have some opportunities there. There's more opportunities to pound the ball on the ground, certainly, than to try to pass on Seattle with that secondary. But I just don't see it with Washington. I don't think that anybody, Garcon or Santana Moss or anybody else, is going to be able to get enough separation on that secondary.
Yeah, which is outstanding.
And I think that, Seattle with their multidimensional offense, which certainly includes Russell Wilson running the ball a lot as well as passing. He's gotten to be so comfortable in operating the offense at this time. And, again, a little bit of a disagreement with FDH Director of Research Nate Noy, not necessarily on who's going to win the game, but on my certitude for Seattle. He says, well, rookie quarterback on the road. And I said, does being a rookie quarterback at home outweigh everything else that Russell Wilson has? And I would submit that the answer is a clear no.
I want to tell you something that no one in the national media agrees with. I think Russell Wilson's better than RG3.
He's had a more impressive year on balance,
and
I think we'd have to say.
I don't think you can definitively say one's better than the other. I like Andrew Luck better than both of them.
Sure.
But just because he's asked to do more.
Right.
But I could make the case Wilson had the better year. I mean, both of them, I think both the offensive coordinators, Daryl Bevel in Seattle and then Kyle Shanahan in Washington, great jobs managing both
yes.
guys. And, you know, by the way, while we're tipping caps to coaches who I've made fun of for a long period of time, the Shanahans deserve some credit.
Yeah.
I think this was Mike Shanahan's best job of coaching ever. And this is a guy who won two Super Bowls, but he also had John Elway, who, as you know, controversially I regard as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. And then he also had Terrell Davis, who at the time was the MVP.
Joe Montana and Otto Graham say hi.
Okay, one guy played when there were six teams, the other guy the greatest receiver of all time. I'll leave it up to the listeners to decide who is who.
All right.
And Terrell Davis was the MVP.
Was
arguably the best player in the league those 2 years.
Right.
Outside of those 2 years, Mike Shanahan never really did anything. This is as impressive a job as he's ever done. But I'm with you. I know the Seattle's going to get a taste of their medicine. I've seen some Washington home games down the stretch. This crowd is jacked, man.
Right.
They love it. But the people who are picking Washington here, I think, are A, relying on Seattle's history on the road, which is not great under Pete Carroll. I mean, they're unbeatable at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're not going to be playing at home unless if they draw Minnesota in a very unlikely NFC Championship game.
Right.
But they seem to have turned the corner. I know they were only 3-5 on the road this year, and one of those wins was in Toronto, which wasn't even a true road game. But they beat Chicago, and that signaled a turnaround. This is just a much different team now than they were in September.
Yes.
So is Washington, for that matter. I just think that when you look at the two teams, if you watch them, Seattle's just way better at everything. What does Washington do better than Seattle? I mean, I guess you could say run the ball, but I think it's somewhat negligible. Marshawn Lynch is a beast.
Lynch and Morris, yeah. It's a compliment
other
to
than
Alfred.
Peterson. Those are the two best running backs in the NFC, right?
Yeah, it's a compliment to Alfred Morris to mention them in the same breath. I mean, he deserves it, but Marshawn Lynch, like you said, has been beast-like of the entire season here. Neither receiving corps statistically is setting the world on fire, but part of that is because both quarterbacks run the ball a lot. And again, both quarterbacks have excellent running backs there. For Washington, again, and this to me is the most fascinating game of the weekend. I think that's why the point spread is the closest and started as a pick. For Washington, I think it's going to be try to pound the ball, try to go for time of possession, try to do whatever you can to keep Seattle's offense kind of off balance. But again, Seattle's not Green Bay. They're not one of these rhythm offenses out there where it's easier to, like, OMG, they've been on the sidelines for 20 minutes. Seattle's going to come out there and try and run their offense no matter what. And when you have as much ground and pound in it as you do from both Lynch and Wilson, that's harder to take you out of rhythm than if you're doing, like, deep passing on a regular basis.
Seattle's point differential was plus 167. Only New England and Denver were better.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle beat San Francisco. They split with them, but they did beat them once. They
okay.
beat New England.
Yeah.
Granted, it was late, but Russell Wilson made one, you know, and I guess it wasn't one heck of a throw. The Patriots secondary was more of a Michigan Wolverines Outback Memorial, what the hell were they doing kind of situation. They beat Green Bay fair and square. From what
By
I
the way,
sat.
Side note on that.
I guess that's the second week in a row I've thrown that troll move out there, so there's no need to hit it.
Well,
the fair and square win they had over Green Bay, from my vantage point, it was a clean victory.
Well, from your vantage point, I'll see your troll and raise you one. You just mentioned Michigan there. Boy, that Denard Robinson is going to make a great special teams player in the CFL, isn't he?
I haven't given the guy an NFL job.
No.
He can't be an H-back?
No. No, he
By
won't.
The way, yeah, you're. Can you do me a favor? Ask your dad what the hell has happened to quarterback play at the Big Ten?
Because
they all stink,
except Braxton Miller.
Well, I mean, I guess if you take throwing out of the equation, he's pretty good.
Huh? Yeah.
So
very good.
My pick is, as much as I hate the line move and I hate road favorites.
Road favorite Kyle to join road favorite Ricky.
I loved this game as a pick 'em. I like it a lot less at 3. Here's my thing. I think the RG3 mouth breathers might. If you can get this game under 3,
mm-hmm.
fire.
Okay.
But this could be a. Look, I know you and I may go toe to toe next week in a potential Seattle Atlanta matchup.
Maybe not.
Wow. I like what I'm hearing out of you.
Okay.
But. I think this game might be more challenging, believe it or not, than Atlanta, potentially, for Seattle. Washington, they can run the ball. They're hot. But when you look at Washington, like, Seattle's dominated.
Right.
I mean, they've I mean, granted, some of those teams weren't very good. Arizona's no good.
Right.
Buffalo's no good. 49ers pretty good, and they beat them 42-13. Now,
right.
It was at home. I understand that.
Right.
And here's another thing, too. I think it was good for them to have a tough game that last week against St. Louis that they had to come back and win.
Yeah.
People are going to look at it, oh, Seattle, maybe they peaked a little too early. Don't sleep on St. Louis. Jeff Fisher did a hell of a job for that 7-8-1 team. And they were, I believe, covered every single division game, St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
they were,
I mean,
strong.
St. Louis played very well in NFC West games.
You're right. That might have been the tone-up that Seattle needed to kind of come back to earth after that big streak there. And you talk about Shanahan and arguably his best year of coaching. The irony is they're 10-6. They were 3-6 before that streak, and Shanahan was looking like he wasn't going to survive past this year. So it's a thin line
NFL. By the way, Donovan McNabb, maybe Mike Shanahan just needs the right black quarterback.
Well, yeah.
I think we saw that this year. I don't want to go into Rob Parker territory here or anything, Donovan McNabb, okay, while you're puking in the Super Bowl, Terrell Owens is on a broken leg giving the most courageous performance I've ever seen in a losing effort, and he's the bad guy. Why? Because Donovan McNabb's a nice guy.
Well,
I don't like Donovan McNabb. I just wanted to rag on someone.
I don't like
randomly.
Donovan McNabb either. So I can agree with you on that.
So Seattle wins here. Here's the thing, too. Seattle, I believe, is number one in the league in points allowed. I'm almost positive there. Yeah, 245 they gave up.
Yeah.
The next closest was the 49ers at 273. And if you go back and look at history, the teams that give up the fewest points.
Uh-huh.
They typically go places. Washington gave up 388.
Yeah.
Their defense.
It's porous.
Yeah, their defense is not very good. I mean, it improved a little bit towards the end, but I think Seattle's going to make some big plays.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington, with a, like you said, RG3 at less than 100%, will not make as many. Seattle wins this game on the road, probably by around a touchdown.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. So you and I actually concurred on all four of the games this weekend.
That's boring.
Yeah, Cincinnati and to I don't cover, like the, and I don't, Green and I don't Bay, like Baltimore, and Seattle to win and cover.
I don't like what you're saying, too, about moving forward. I thought I was anticipating next week having this knockdown, drag-out brawl in the NFC.
I want to petition the league for the unfairness of how this is going to look, because I've been sticking up for Atlanta all year long. And again, Atlanta is going to draw the buzzsaw team and look like they're nothing but a bunch of choke artists. Now, I will give you this. That game last year against the Giants was such an abortion. I mean, I got nothing to say about that. How you lose that game 24-2, I picked them to win it outright. I got nothing to say about
that. It was kind of embarrassing that they actually got a safety rather than being shut out, wasn't it?
Yeah, 24-0 would have been more dignity. But the Green Bay game the year before, again, Green Bay went on to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, they got their doors blown off, but Green Bay, as we saw in the Super Bowl, really more of kind of a dome team anyways as far as their setup goes.
They're great indoors, until discounting the loss last week.
They are, and it's just I've been sticking up for Atlanta all year long, and I'm calling it a week and a half out. I'm going to end up with egg on my face because it's going to look like same old Falcons. I will pick Seattle to win that game outright against Atlanta, and don't be surprised. Even though Atlanta's the one seed, let's try and make an early guess on the line. Do you think the line ends up being anywhere close to a pick, or does Atlanta get something of a benefit of the doubt?
Well, for home field and the week of rest,
okay.
I'm gonna send you a little facts for the blog. I apologize.
Okay.
I was busy doing things, booking vacations, and trying to figure out my garage door, which broke out of me this afternoon.
Ooh.
And I wanted to. It's fixed now.
Okay.
By the way, as the 65-year-old man from the building down came over and he did all the work. So,
oh, good.
Well, I said, including shoveling too. I mean, he looked at me like, "What are you good for?"
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, you have impressive neighbors. I understand these folks really shine under pressure.
Yes,
no
yes they
about
do.
It.
They really do. Yeah. I'm going to look at history because I have all the history down. I don't think there's ever been a road favorite in
the divisional round.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, that we've seen them more and more in the wild card round. I don't have last year's results in front of me.
Okay, you're right
Shame
about
on
that.
Me. I'm trying to think, what were the wild card games last year? Pittsburgh beat – I can do this real quick if this is going to be live.
Well, Houston beat Cincinnati.
Okay, they were a home favorite.
Yeah.
New Orleans beat Detroit. They were they were a big home favorite.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh lost as a road favorite outright to Denver.
Tebow, yeah.
By God. And then what was the early Sunday game then? It would have been an NFC game.
Was it
– Giants. Beat the Falcons.
Giants beat the Falcons.
I think the Giants were, I believe, a dog. Slight dog. Oh, no, they were at home. They were probably favored.
Right.
I'm sure they were favored, but a slight favorite. So I'm looking back here at road favorites in the wild card.
You're right about that for the divisional round.
Believe it or not, there was two in 2010.
Okay.
One of them lost outright, New Orleans.
So the Seattle.
The big road favorites have stunk. Baltimore did win as a 3-point road favorite going into Kansas City that year.
That was the infamous game where Sean Payton before the game in the locker room. You could beat these guys wearing your flip flops. So yeah, that was.
But road camping, it looks like I'm taking a look here. Go back to 2007, 2010. Okay. It didn't happen a lot. There was one year, I think it was 2008.
Okay.
Which, by the way, interesting here. That was the first year Atlanta lost in the playoffs.
Okay.
They lost the eventual NFC champions that year, too, Arizona.
All right.
So they've always run into the hot team. So it looks like before 2007, though, it very rarely happened. I'm looking for Tennessee in 2003 was a one-point favorite at Baltimore and won.
Okay.
Some of these lines will always
vary,
folks.
It won't happen in this round. You and I are, I'm sure we're going to differ on the other NFC game in the
round. Okay, just to bring this full circle.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, so we're going in. Let's do it right now. Let's set the things.
We're both
let's make our Super Bowl pick. Let's go through the playoffs and make our straight-up picks now.
Seattle over Atlanta, we both agree with that.
I believe Seattle will beat Atlanta.
And I know we're going to disagree on the next one. I think Green Bay is going to go into Frisco and do them in that game there.
I disagree. I think it's a terrible matchup for Green Bay going against that pass.
Renewal of the 90s rivalry, by the way.
Well, and I'll tell you what. You talk about rematches. I ain't going back to the 79 finals, because NBA finals, because I don't have to because these teams played in week one and San Francisco really beat up Green Bay. I know the final was 30-22, was not that close, folks. Green Bay cheated in that game, by the way. They want to complain about Seattle. There was a clip in the back on a Randall Cobb punt return that should not have counted. So I have 30-15 as my unofficial final. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So
filed it with the league.
So I've got a Seattle San Francisco NFC Championship game.
I got Seattle going to Green Bay for the NFC Championship. You know that's the one Goodell wants. Goodell will rig it to get that.
And I'm
outcome.
Surprised you would support him. I thought you were the leader of the. I thought you were the leader of the anti-Roger Goodell fan club.
Well, I just want integrity and non-David Stern practices in sports. I'm predicting it. I'm not saying I want it.
You realize Roger Goodell and David Stern are the finest commissioners sports have ever seen.
I don't like the way that outcomes are gamed, shall we say. And this, and Green Bay was on the business end of that on the Monday night game. Earlier in the season, but they will get their revenge in the NFC Championship game at home, the Green Bay Packers, for the second time in 3 years, your NFC champions.
So you're sticking with where
I'm
you were at the beginning.
Sticking with them stubbornly.
I can't, because guess what? Chicago didn't make the playoffs. But here's the ironic thing.
Okay.
Look, there's continuity here. Seattle beat Chicago in Chicago, and that was right around the time I changed my pick to Seattle.
Okay.
I'm sticking with my NFC Championship prediction. Seattle, third time in 3 weeks, wins on the road. They go to San Francisco, and they win the NFC Championship.
Any concern, Kyle Ross? Now, under your scenario, Seattle plays the NFC Championship game in the West time zone, but we're looking at Seattle to Washington, Seattle to Atlanta, and then you're looking at a lot of time zone travel in 3 weeks. Again, in your case, in Frisco, not so bad. They stay in a time zone. In my case, they go to Green Bay. They move two time zones over, and it's their third move in 3 weeks.
Take it from me. It's not hard to book a luxurious hotel in this day and age.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I think.
What about sleep cycles, Kyle Ross?
What I would do for them, and they'll know who their opponent, if they, well, no. You know what? But they're the last game, so they draw a break.
Okay.
So they'll know going in to the Washington, well, they wouldn't want to think about it. But they'll be pigeonholed because the 3-6 game always determines the matchup, and that's Green Bay, Minnesota, which is the day before.
Right.
They'll know where they have to go right away. They won't have to wait like a day to find the previous.
Are we
going to
see a 49ers in Youngstown,
yeah,
Ohio scenario?
I don't know if Coach 'em Up Pete has one of his co-eds houses he can borrow on the East Coast. But
we know there's one in Malibu, yeah. Right, Charlie Weiss?
Yeah. But they could stay out east for the week and then, you know, come back. And it's, remember, the championship games are at weird start times, too. They start later. There's no early game.
Yeah.
It's a 3:30 and 6:30,
yes.
Which is interesting because the way I have it, they're both going to be held on the West Coast.
Okay.
Because we can get to the AFC. But I'm picking Seattle to win the NFC.
You're saying Seattle wins it at San Francisco. I'm saying Green Bay wins it at Seattle. You and I may have a shade more concurrence in the AFC.
Well,
as it goes. I don't know.
Here's the thing. Cincinnati-Houston's the most coin flip straight-up result for me of the week.
Yeah, probably.
Regardless of the outcome of that matchup,
mm-hmm.
I believe the AFC Championship game will be New England at Denver. I
don't
I do see
too.
There's any way there's not.
Well, that's
the
true.
Top two seeds will
that's
hold
true.
Serve there.
I got Houston going into New England. I think Houston's going to win but not cover. I got Houston going into New England and losing. Mm-hmm. And then I got Baltimore going into Denver and probably getting their doors blown off.
Yeah, I could see that. And then with New England at Denver, AFC Championship game, I'm taking New England.
I am too, because here's the thing too. You don't want to be Denver that has to win something like 13 in a row to win the Super Bowl. You're going to stub your toe one of these
weeks.
I agree. You're just going to. So there's that. There's the fact that Brady historically has played better than Manning in the head-up games that they've had against one another. I've had it pointed out to me, I forget by who or I would credit them, that New England hasn't – I think it might have been FDH Lounge dignitary Ben Chu pointing out to me that New England hasn't played very well at Denver over the years historically,
that is
including
true.
In the playoffs.
That is true.
So there is that. Now,
I think that was like Brady's first playoff loss or something.
It was.
Yeah,
it was actually.
It was the only time Shanahan made the playoffs without John Elway.
I don't know if it was Champ Bailey. Somebody had a pick six that put the game away. It was like 27-13 or something. It was a real shocker. But, yeah, there's some things that go against that. But, yeah, I think New England successfully defends their AFC championship, and we have – what I thought we were going to have last year, which is a Pac-Patriots Super Bowl. And ultimately this year, I will go with what I believe my pick would have been last year. Last year my pick was the Pats to go back-to-back. My pick at the beginning of the season was the Pac to win the Super Bowl over Houston. I will maintain that, the Pac over the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
My Super Bowl is Seattle versus New England.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick the Seattle Seahawks to win the Super
Coach
Bowl.
Coach them up, people.
Coach them up, yes, yes. Yeah. I just think Seattle is red hot. I think they can – New England – look, New England would kind of break the Super Bowl loser's curse because no team that lost the previous year's Super Bowl has gotten back or has gone
Except the Buffalo Bills when they kept doing it. But, yeah, it's
– In recent years, 2000, pardon me, but has gotten further. No one's gotten further. I think it's been a long time since anyone's gotten back to the same spot.
Well, the perfect team did that in 1972. Just pointing out.
Randy Savage and Curt Hennig either, are we? But, okay, I'm talking about, like, the last 10. When the Super Bowl's loser's curse is more of a recent trend.
It is.
That I believe started in,
like, 2000.
A lot of
times they miss the playoffs outright.
Yeah, it was really strong for a while.
Anytime the Squealers win the Super Bowl, they miss it the next year.
Yes. So, I will... New England just always seems to gag in the Super Bowl. And I know we're talking a lot of hypotheticals at that point.
The last two times, yeah.
And they've been the better team. I think that Seattle wins, and then when that happens, I'm going to force you to say something nice about my good friend Bill Simmons, who picked them before the year to win the Super Bowl.
He picked Seattle to win the Super Bowl?
Yes, he did. What do you got to say about the sports guy?
Wow.
What do you got to say about that?
I still think he's had a lot of hacky takes on basketball over the years.
Well,
but
I like his book. You should read his book. It's very good.
His book is great, but his takes on LeBron over the years have been a little bit hacky.
Why? Because you don't like LeBron anymore?
No. That's absolutely true.
That's not why? Because
that makes
you
me objective and not.
Yeah, why? Because you don't like him? Well, because he took his talent somewhere else and his ball?
We don't need to dissect the exact reasons, Kyle Ross. We don't need to get
by
into
the
that.
Way. Little bonus research here live on the air. I was looking through.
Okay.
I found a road favorite in the divisional round.
Really?
1991. Dallas was a 1-point favorite at Detroit.
They
lost 38-6.
I remember that, yeah.
And there was also a game a few years ago. It was a pick'em, Indianapolis at New England, believe it or not. New England won big. So needless to say, if there's a road favorite or pick'em in that round, you don't like them. So that would be up against Seattle.
We're not going
to
see that this year. There's no way. The closest would be.
Well, it's certainly not in the AFC. And then San Fran, because they beat Green Bay, would get probably more. They'd be around 3.5, 4.5. Atlanta would be the closest. But
you're still looking at least two, right?
At least because I think if I remember Vegas, if you can, I can tell you what about the Lions would be if you give me just a second here. I could tell you because I have the Vegas rankings handy here. If you just want to, I think that. Hold on here. Let's see if I can find it.
We'll see if we can make a stab at
I can guess what the hypothetical lines would be. Now, these look
I'm going to guess 2.5. Atlanta minus 2.5. We'll see how close I am.
It would be tough, because you know why they're going to want to? I think they're going to be desperate to avoid Seattle money, so you could see that 2.5 here. Hold on here.
That's my guess. We'll see.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm close on these, sometimes not so much. It's not going to be wildly more than that, and it's not going to be probably in the ballpark of pick 'em for the reasons that you have outlined previously.
Look, it'll be like 2.5.
2.5.
Because I think Seattle and Atlanta were fairly close in the final Vegas. Seattle was actually a spot higher, if I remember the Vegas power rankings. But it was the difference was negligible. So, you'd be looking at a 2.5, 3-point line for that.
Well, and the thing is, too, it'll be very interesting to see. Isn't the public going to be all over Seattle? Perception that Atlanta's a playoff choker, Seattle red hot team, yada, yada, yada.
The Sharps, yes. I think there's this feeling among the general that Atlanta's got to win a playoff game, right? And I think
that's
could be
my sense all year. All year I've been saying they will win a playoff game, but that's what pisses me off. Because now I know a week and a half ahead I'm going to have egg on my face. Just because if you gave them anybody else, if you gave them Green Bay, I think that they have at least – a somewhat even chance of winning that game, or even Frisco or whatever. But Seattle, no. Seattle's a nightmare matchup for them.
Okay, the line actually might be lower than we thought.
Really?
Well, it depends how much you give home field to the Falcons. Right now, the Seahawks, according to in some of these vary by half point. There's different. There's not one, Bible poll for Vegas, but I'm just looking at one here. They have Seattle currently rated 1.5 better than Atlanta. So if you factor in the 3 for home, it swings the other way. Atlanta would be like a 1.5-point home favorite. So, it could be like 2. So it probably won't get up to 3. So you're probably looking at 2.5, I bet.
Well, not only that.
Depending how, Seattle looks this week as well.
And here's the thing. We talk about, and we've been talking about all year, how much better the NFC is than the AFC. You're talking about a second week in a row where the AFC games could be kind of like yawners, mediocre type games, whatever. Seattle, for the second week in a row, looks like they would be in the best game of the weekend. Maybe Green Bay, San Fran, but both of those games are going to be barn burners.
Yeah, I agree. Those will be two tough games. Yeah, whereas the AFC, look, everyone, New England and Denver
might as well have buys. Let's be honest.
I mean, it's interesting here. Let's just hypothetically say, you know, New England against Houston, that line, it would be interesting because at the poll I'm looking at right now, I would say the line would only be a touchdown.
I was going to say 6.5.
Yes, that seems too low. I know they were 4.5. What, they were 4.5 in the first meeting.
Houston gets a lot of residual respect for the overall season, though, don't they?
Who would bet Houston getting less than 7 at New England? I think they'd put it a solid 7.
Okay.
Denver against Baltimore, hypothetical line.
That could be 8.
Yeah, it would be about 7.5, 8.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be. And you know, but you know, in case if you know, wow, Indianapolis finished way low. They finished 18th in this Vegas poll I'm looking at. If Indianapolis were to win and say play at New England, that line would be or Denver.
Yeah,
those lines would be around 10.
That makes sense.
Cincinnati would be fairly comparable to Baltimore line.
And that makes sense too.
Yeah,
Cincinnati and Baltimore are pretty close at this point in time. So. All right, so you're saying as of now, and it'll be interesting. Let's revisit every week based on the outcome of
results. Yeah, obviously, you know, we reserve. I mean, one of these, well, you know, New England, that pick's not going to change.
Right.
I cannot imagine my AFC picking changing at all.
Yeah.
Even based on this week's results. It's going to be both home teams winning next week, and I got New England going into Denver and winning.
And here's the thing, too. More often than not in recent years, the home teams on Championship Sunday go 50-50. So the fact that I'm going for Green Bay means that I'm going to go for New England now. Now, you're picking actually both road teams.
I'd pick both road teams, yeah.
That would be interesting to see when that last happened. But, yeah, that's, you know, so that's something for us to look at. But, again, we'll monitor that as we go along. You're saying Seattle over New England in the Super Bowl. I am saying Green Bay over New England in the Super Bowl. Our picks for this week, Cincinnati, the lone dog for both of us, Green Bay, Baltimore, Seattle, the favorites. So you and I are in complete concurrence on our four picks for this week.
Yes.
So we'll see how everything goes, and we'll re-examine again next week. A pleasure as always, Kyle. We'll keep breaking this down all the way to the Super Bowl, my man.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.